السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمد بن عبد الله، عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم. أما بعد، we begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is no doubt our creator, sustainer, nourisher, protector and curer. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower his choicest of blessings and salutations upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his family members, his companions and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyamah. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, the online viewers as well as the television viewers, like I mentioned in the previous session, if you have any questions, you can tweet me on Twitter, inshallah, and I'll try my level best to clarify them according to the light of the Quran and the Sunnah. So when we announced it on Thursday, if I'm not mistaken, there were a couple of questions that came in, and some of the questions were in regard to the content itself, in regard to the story of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, in regard to the story of Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam. And those questions, or I think most of the questions, I clarified them via Twitter itself. But then there were two questions that came in, and I thought I'll start off by clarifying them, and then we'll move on to the story of the Prophet Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. So the first question that I want to clarify today, inshallah ta'ala, is in regard to dyeing one's hair. In regard to dyeing one's hair. Because there was this brother who messaged me on Twitter and asked me to clarify in this regard. Whether it is permissible or impermissible, or what does Islam basically say about dyeing one's hair. In regard to this, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah, he makes mention of a particular narration that Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he narrates from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, the Jews and the Christians do not dye their hair. The Jews and the Christians do not dye their hair. So be different from them. So be different from them. So from this narration, we derive a recommendation from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to dye one's hair. So from this, it is understood that it is permissible. It is permissible to dye one's hair. And from this narration, we can see that it is even recommended upon an individual, if he wishes to dye his hair, to do it, to differ from the Jews and the Christians. I hope I have made it clear. Now, what is permissible, what is impermissible in this regard? In general, all colors, but now don't dye it purple and, you know, pink and all these colors. All colors are permissible except for black, according to some scholars, rahimahumullah. They say that you can dye your hair with any color other than black. Avoid black. And this is based on a particular incident when once Abu Bakr radiallahu anh, he brought his father Abu Quhafa, who was a very, very old man, to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam saw the white hair of Abu Quhafa, his hair was snow white, you know, pure white, because he was so old, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he said, change this, change the snow white color, change it, but avoid black. In other words, dye the hair, but avoid the color black. So based on this particular narration, there are scholars who state that it is permissible to dye one's hair, but the color black should be avoided. But then we have another group of scholars who clarify this further, because this statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was directed at an extremely old man, an extremely old man. So based on this, scholars like Az-Zuhri rahimahullah and others, they state that we used to dye our hair black when our faces looked young, but discarded it when our faces became wrinkled and when we became old. When we became old. So based on this, certain scholars, as well as from our Salaf and Salih, our pious predecessors, some of them state that the color black should be avoided when you become old. So when you are young, it is permissible to even use the color black. There's no issue with it. But when you become old, you must avoid black, because we have a direct statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And personally, I prefer this opinion, And I end this particular question by saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best in regard to it. But it is permissible to dye one's hair. And when you are young, you can even use black. Once you become old, you're supposed to avoid it, according to the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one final note in that regard, try to use dyes that are made of organic materials. Don't, you know, resort to cheap dyes that are made of very harmful and at times even toxic chemicals. One, is not good for your hair. And number two, it can also at times, you know, remain on your hair like a barrier that would prevent the water from reaching the scalp, your hair, etc. And you know, it might even be something that might prevent you from fulfilling your ablution properly, your ghusl properly. So try to stick to things that are natural and organic, like henna and other you know, plant-based dyes, which won't be harmful for your health as well, inshallah ta'ala. The second question that was posed was by a sister, and this was in regard to trimming one's eyebrows, in regard to trimming or shaping one's eyebrows. Now we have a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam where he is reported to have said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has cursed women who tattoo their bodies, who wear false hair, in the sense they extend their hair, and those who pluck their wear false hair, in the sense not only extensions, that's a different story, but they wear wigs, yeah, and those who pluck their eyebrows, and those who artificially widen gaps between their teeth. So there are scholars who say that your eyebrows cannot be touched at all. Based on this particular narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But when you study this narration carefully, you can come to a conclusion that it generally discusses mutilation of one's body. If you look at the first mention of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah curses women who tattoo their bodies. So tattooing is completely impermissible. It is not at all permissible within the guidelines of our Sharia under the light of the Quran and the Sunnah. They wear wigs. That's number two. And number three, those who pluck their eyebrows. In those days, there used to be women who used to completely pluck all of the hair of their eyebrows and then draw their eyebrows afresh. They should draw their eyebrows afresh. But now in regard to today's modern context, where the questioner who posed the question was actually talking about shaping one's eyebrows. Like say for example, if a woman has very thick eyebrows, some women have something called as a unibrow, where the two eyebrows join together. Very thick eyebrows. For such individuals, scholars, they state that it is permissible for such women to shape their eyebrows, like removing the hair that is right in the middle. Because if it's too thick and if it's joined, it may not look nice. It might look a little ugly. So it is permissible for them to remove the hair that is in the middle. And likewise, if it's very thick, if their eyebrows are very thick, thick eyebrows, then there is no harm in shaping it a bit. But to completely pluck your eyebrows out completely, that is a form of mutilating one's body, and that is not permissible. But other than that, to keep it neat, clean and tidy, it is permissible, and this is the opinion I favor. Wallahu alam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So inshallah ta'ala, if there are any other questions that you wish to pose, whether be it in regard to the content that we are discussing in regard to the life of the Prophets alayhi salatu wasalam, or even other questions, please do as the brother said in the way he. You can tweet me, and inshallah ta'ala, I'll try my level best to clarify them. Okay. Now today, we are going to be discussing the best of stories, inshallah ta'ala. The best of stories. Now so far we have been discussing stories, but today we are going to be discussing the best of stories, as our Maker himself states in the Noble Quran, Alif Lam Ra, Tilka Ayatul Kitabil Mubin, Inna أنزلناه قرآنا عربيا لعلكم تعقلون
نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ بِمَا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ بِمَا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ وَإِن كُنْتَ مِن قَبْلِهِ لَمِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts off Surah Yusuf by stating, نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ. We relate unto you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the best of stories. The best of stories. Just before he Azza wa Jal started off the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam, we narrate unto you the best of stories, bima awhayna ilayk, through our revelations unto you, bima awhayna ilayka hadha al-Qur'an, through our revelations unto you of this Qur'an. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he narrates the best of stories unto Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and obviously the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So we mentioned in the previous session, we discussed about the children of Yaqub alayhi salatu wa salam. So let's try to jog our memories a little in this regard before we go further, inshallah ta'ala. So we mentioned, so I would like the brothers to get involved as well, inshallah. So let's try to jog our memories, yeah? Because if not, I'm the one who's talking often, and I'm fasting as well, and my throat tends to get dry a bit. So let's hear something from the crowd as well, inshallah. If not, you know, the television viewers might think I'm just talking to myself and there's nobody here. Yeah? So okay. So we mentioned in the previous session about Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam. Can someone tell me the other name Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam was known by? Israel. MashaAllah. Jazakallah khair. Israel. Israel. Uncles at the back must feel ashamed. See the youngsters in the front, they know the answer. Israel. Israel, and we said that Banu Israel, the children of Israel, the tribes and nations that came after Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, they were known as Israel. Now, Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, what was his father's name? Ishaq, right? Who was the son of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Okay? So, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he had how many sons? We mentioned in the previous session, how many sons? Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, two sons. Their names? Ismail and Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam, right? We said that Ishaq was born to Sarah alayhi salatu wasalam, and she was in Palestine, whilst Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam to Sarah alayhi salatu wasalam, and Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, what was his mother's name? Hajar alayhi salatu wasalam. I hope it's clear, right? And then Ishaq, what he did was, he got married, right? He got married, and then we mentioned in the previous session that he got two, he was blessed with two sons, Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, and another son, we mentioned his name was Is, and there was an argument, a dispute that took place between the two sons, and the mother, she sends Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam to live with his uncle. Right? Which uncle was this? An uncle who used to look after him and later on was to become his father-in-law as well, because he marries his daughter. Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, he marries his daughter. And he was blessed with 10 children from that particular wife, the first wife. And then later on he went on to marry the sister of that lady as well. Like we mentioned in the previous session, that in that era, marrying two sisters simultaneously was permissible, but it is haram according to our religion now. And then through the second wife, he was blessed with another two children. Their names were Yusuf and Binyamin. So in total, how many children did Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam have? 12 in total. So we also mentioned that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was a noble prophet indeed. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, "Wal Kareem, Ibn al-Kareem, Ibn al-Kareem, Ibn al-Kareem." He is a noble individual, the son of a noble individual who was Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, the son of a noble individual who was Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam, the son of another very great and noble individual who was none other than Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So this was a little background in regard to the family of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. So he was blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be a very, very handsome individual. He was blessed by Allah azza wa jal to be extremely handsome. Now one day, little Yusuf, alayhi salatu wasalam, he sees a dream. He sees an amazing, powerful dream. So after seeing this dream, he goes and informs his father about it. He goes and tells his father, "Father, I saw a dream, a very powerful dream." So his father now asks him about this dream of his. And then he goes on to narrate to his father this powerful dream that he had just witnessed.
إِذْ قَالَ يُوسُفُ لِأَبِيهِ يَا أَبَتِ إِنِّي رَأَيْتُ أَحَدَ عَشَرَ كَوْكَبًا وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ رَأَيْتُهُمْ لِهِ سَاجِدِينَ.
And remember when Yusuf said to his father, little Yusuf now is telling his father, "Ya Abat, oh my father, إِنِّي رَأَيْتُ أَحَدَ عَشَرَ كَوْكَبًا, I saw 11 stars, والشمس, the sun, والقمر, and the moon, رَأَيْتُهُمْ لِسَاجِدِينَ, I saw them prostrating themselves to me." Now you, my dear brother, my dear sister, put yourself in the shoes of little Yusuf, alayhi salatu wasalam, and just try to imagine this dream. Just imagine what a powerful dream. At times, you know, we just skim through the surah. We skim through the content without, you know, reflecting on the story itself. Just think, 11 stars, the sun and the moon. Just imagine how he must, just think of the imagery. How he would have, you know, dreamt it. 11 stars, the sun and the moon all prostrating unto me. Is it like, I mean, do you think you have ever witnessed a dream similar to that? Don't you think it's a very powerful dream? The stars, sun, moon, prostrating unto me. So it was a very powerful dream. And that too for a little child. A very powerful dream. So the minute he told his father about it, his father Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, who was no doubt a prophet at that time, he immediately understood that this was just not any ordinary dream. It was a powerful dream, a message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the father Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam instructs his son, "Please don't tell your brothers about this dream. Please don't tell your brothers about this dream."
قَالَ يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تَقُصُصْ رُؤْيَاكَ عَلَىٰ إِخْوَتِكَ فَيَكِيدُوا لَكَ كَيْدًا إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لِلْإِنسَانِ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ.
Ya Bunay, my dear son, لَا تَقُصُصْ رُؤْيَاكَ عَلَىٰ إِخْوَتِكَ, don't tell your brothers about this dream of yours, because I fear, فَيَكِيدُوا لَكَ كَيْدًا, they might plot against you. I fear that they may plot against you. إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لِلْإِنسَانِ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. Verily shaitan is to man an open enemy. He's a clear enemy. I fear that shaitan might creep in and, you know, put feelings of envy, hatred and jealousy towards you, and they may start plotting against you. Because they also might understand that this is a very powerful dream, and they might plot against you because of that. So don't tell your brothers about this dream. Now who were these brothers? These were the brothers that I just mentioned. The brothers from the first wife. From the first wife. They were stepbrothers. They didn't share the same mother, but they shared the same father, Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam. Okay? So there were 10 sons in total. They were anyway not very happy about Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Because throughout they felt as if, you know, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam enjoyed a favorite spot in their father's heart. And they always had this feeling within them. They used to envy Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. They were jealous of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And now this jealousy started to manifest itself. Like I mentioned the other day, jealousy is an inborn quality, a trait that we all have as human beings. But we must try to control it and not allow it to manifest. The minute we allow it to manifest, that is when it takes control of us, and that is when it pushes us into a pit of destruction. If we control it, if we curb it, and according to the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if we transform it, we can actually transform it. We have an impermissible form of jealousy and a permissible form of jealousy. I mentioned this the other day, so I'll not go into it deeply. We can transform it into the permissible form known as ghibta, where we don't wish for the destruction of another individual. So we must try to either transform it or control it. Control it. We must not allow it to control us. Because if we allow it to control us, it will just destroy us. So this is what happened. They allowed the jealousy to control them. And now they start to talk amongst themselves. They start to bicker amongst themselves.
إِذْ قَالُوا لَيُوسُفُ وَأَخُوهُ أَحَبُّ إِلَىٰ أَبِيْنَا مِنَّا وَنَحْنُ عُصْبَانُ إِنَّ أَبَانَا لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ.
Now they say, Yusuf, وَأَخُوهُ, and his brother, Binyamin, Benjamin, أَحَبُّ إِلَىٰ أَبِيْنَا, they are more beloved to our father than we are. They are more closer to our father. وَنَحْنُ عُصْبَ, but we are an عُصْبَ, عُصْبَ in the sense we are a young, strong group of individuals. We are 10 of us, we are so strong, we are young. إِنَّ أَبَانَا لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Our father is in a clear error. Now look, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, they think, or they thought, that love could be won over by strength, that love could be won over by numbers, and they thought that they could win the love of their father by being harsh, by proving their strength. But in reality, how is love won over? I mean, if you want to win the love of your father, do you go and show your harsh attitude, your arrogant attitude, and will you succeed in winning the love of your father? No. You have to be kind, you have to treat your father well, you have to be an obedient child. That is when, with good conduct, good akhlaq, with respect, obedience, this is how you win the love of your father. Now this is what Yusuf and Binyamin were doing. They were very close to their father because they loved their father so much. They were obedient children. They were full of good conduct. They treated their father really well. And this is why obviously the other sons felt left out, because they were treating their father in a very harsh manner. And look, we can see it in the statement itself. Inna abana lafi dhalalin mubin. Our father, you know, he's gone, you know, he's deviant. He's in plain error. Which son will talk about his father in such a manner? My father, you know, he's in plain error. He just makes mistake after mistake. He is a big mistake. Who will talk about one's father in such a manner if that individual had true love for his father? Allahu Akbar. So you see this, from this very statement, we understand that their attitude towards their father was one of a very harsh temperament. They should treat their father in a very harsh manner. They were not obedient children. So naturally they felt left out. So when we compare them, the 10 sons, with Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam and Binyamin, they were a completely different kettle of fish, these two, you know, Binyamin and Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And on the other hand, we have the 10 sons of Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam as well. From the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, there are many lessons to be derived. For the keen student, there are many lessons to be derived. Primarily in regard to, you can see, because of jealousy, siblings, their own blood. We're not talking about strangers, enemies, people from outside. No, from within the family. Allahu Akbar. From within the family, and as we will discuss inshallah, they plot against their brother. They plot to kill him. Allahu Akbar. Your own blood. You know, it's understandable if it's someone from outside. This is family, within the walls of your own family. They plot against their own blood, their own little brother Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And this is how self-destructive a trait jealousy is. Allahu Akbar. It just makes an individual go blind. You won't even care whether so and so is your family or a loved one. It doesn't matter. Jealousy just controls an individual. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Their hatred for Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam made them go green with envy. They were so jealous, they started to continue in terms of their bickering, and they finally began to conspire to kill little Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Now what do they say?
اقتلوا يوسف أو اطرحوه أرضا يخل لكم وجه أبيكم وتكونوا من بعده قوما صالحين.
Kill Yusuf. Now they're hatching a plot against Yusuf عليه الصلاة والسلام. Kill Yusuf, or just cast him to some foreign land. Let's banish him. Let's chase him away. Let's go and drop him in some far away land. يَخْلُ لَكُمْ وَجْهُ أَبِيكُمْ, so that the favor of our father will now turn towards us. Because the minute we eliminate Yusuf out of the equation, then our father, his focus will be on us. Our father will love us. Because now the limelight, the spotlight will be on us. I mean, we will enjoy all the attention that our father has to give. So let's get rid of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Now they're plotting against their little brother. But then one of the brothers, whose envy and hatred towards Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was of a lesser degree than the others, he said,
قَالَ قَائِلٌ مِّنْهُمْ لَا تَقْتُلُوا يُوسُفَ وَأَلْقُوهُ فِي غَيَابَةِ الْجُبِّ يَلْتَقِطُهُ بَعْضُ السَّيَّارَةِ إِن كُنْتُمْ فَاعِلِينَ
قَالَ قَائِلٌ مِّنْهُمْ One of them, he said, لَا تَقْتُلُوا يُوسُفَ Don't kill Yusuf. وَأَلْقُوهُ فِي غَيَابَةِ الْجُبِّ But if you want to do something, then throw him into the bottom of a well. Throw him into the bottom of an abandoned well. يَلْتَقِطُهُ بَعْضُ السَّيَّارَةِ إِن كُنْتُمْ فَاعِلِينَ He will be picked up by some caravan of travelers. Maybe after some time a caravan might pass by and they'll pick him up and they'll take him and go. If you're going to do something to him, then go drop him into the bottom of a well. So now they plan on this. They plan on throwing their little brother into a dark well in the middle of nowhere. Into a dark well in the middle of nowhere. So they plan, and finally they decide to enact the plan. And they go to their father, Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam. Now they go to him and they start to act very nicely. Now all these days they were very harsh. They hated their brother. Now suddenly there is this profound love that has sprouted in their hearts towards their brother, towards their father. They go to their father Yaqub, all of them together, and very nicely they butter him up. They're talking to him nicely with rosy, sweet words. Now the father Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam sensed something was going on. So they go to him and they say, Father, you know Yusuf is always at home, little Yusuf. Why don't you send him with us so that he can play with us? We have decided, you know, to let him join us, join our clique. Because before, they didn't allow him to come with them, to play with them. They used to chase him away. But now they go to their father and say, why don't you allow him to come with us? So tomorrow when we go, we'll take him with us so he can have some fun with us. He's always at home, moping around alone. So let him come with us, we can play together, make merry, he'll have a good time. Let him, you know, come out a bit. And they start to try and persuade their father.
قَالُوا يَا أَبَانَا مَا لَكَ لَا تَأْمَنَّا عَلَىٰ يُوسُفَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَنَاصِحُونَ
They said, oh, our father, مَا لَكَ لَا تَأْمَنَّا Why do you not trust us with Yusuf? وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَنَاصِحُونَ We are indeed his well-wishers. We only wish good for him. We want him to, you know, stretch his legs a bit, let him come out and play with us. We just wish good for him. Send little Yusuf with us. أَرْسِلْهُ مَعَنَا غَدًا Send him with us tomorrow. يَرْتَعْ وَيَلْعَبْ So he can enjoy, he can play, he can involve himself in some, you know, recreational activities with us. وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ And definitely we will take good care of him. We will take good care of little Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Now all of this display, this whole drama, it perturbed Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam. It disturbed Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam. And then he voiced out his thoughts. He said,
قَالَ إِنِّي لَيَحْزُنُنِي أَن تَذْهَبُوا بِهِ وَأَخَافُ أَن يَأْكُلَهُ الذِّئْبُ وَأَخَافُ أَن يَأْكُلَهُ الذِّئْبُ وَأَنْتُمْ عَنْهُ غَافِلُونَ
Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam said, إِنِّي لَيَحْزُنُنِي It saddens me, in a sense my heart is heavy, that you should take him. Allahu Akbar. Look at the intuition. Look at that. He was a prophet at the end of the day. He sensed it. He said, my heart is heavy if you take him, and I fear that a wolf might eat him up. A wolf might eat him up. وَأَنْتُمْ عَنْهُ غَافِلُونَ Whilst you are careless of him. A wolf might come and snatch him away from you whilst you are all careless of him. So my heart is heavy to send him. They immediately feigned surprise and they asked their father, قَالُوا لَإِنْ أَكَلَهُ الذِّئْبُ وَنَحْنُ عُصْبَةٌ إِنَّا إِذَا لَخَاسِرُونَ They asked, you know, they asked their father, do you think a wolf will eat our little brother whilst we are usba? We are a strong group. Look at us, 10 of us. A wolf? Come and penetrate us and then eat our little brother? Impossible. Inna idha lakhasirun. If that were to happen, then surely we will become losers. We will protect him. We are 10 strong. We can look after him. We will protect him.
Don't worry about it, father. And they reassure their father so much. And then they go and inform Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. In the end, Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, he conceded, he, you know, gave his permission. And they go and inform little Yusuf. Now Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, was so excited. Why? Because he was a little boy. All these days, his brothers never allowed him into their circle. You can just imagine, right? So a little fellow, he was so small. And the minute Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was given permission, he felt so happy. He felt so happy. He, you know, was so excited. Just imagine, I want you to put yourself in the shoes of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. He felt so excited that I'm sure he wouldn't have even slept the night, because he was so excited to go out with his brothers the next day and play with them, enjoy with them. Allahu Akbar. But then, just think of the dark side. They, on the other hand, were plotting and planning against Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. He was so small, he was so excited to go out with them, and he was happy that his father had given permission. He was looking forward to the... It was like a trip. It was like a little picnic, a little trip. He's going out with his brothers to have some fun. He was so excited. Now, morning comes, and they all get together, and they go out to an open area. They travel far. And now they play and they enjoy. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, so excited to be with his brothers. He's so happy that finally they have accepted him and they love him. And he's playing with them, you know, running around with them. Until finally they start to carry him. And he still thinks they're playing around. He still thinks they're playing around. You know, at times you carry a child and, you know, you throw the child up and, you know, catch the child, right? So he still feels as if, you know, they're playing around and, you know, just goofing around. And they gradually make their way. Playing with him, they make their way to this. They make their way to this abandoned well. And now, when they come close to the well, they carry Yusuf, alayhi salatu wasalam, who's still thinking that they love him and they are playing with him, and they take him to the brink, to the edge of the well, to the edge of the well. And then he's about to fall into the well, and he's thinking that they're just playing around. They're just playing around, trying to pull his leg, until finally they pushed him into the well. After he fell into the well, he thought perhaps it was a mistake. It was a mistake. And then he cries out, "Brothers, help me, help me. The well is dark, I can't see anything." And it was an abandoned well, so there wasn't a lot of water, but then it was gloomy, dark. And there must have been all kinds of creatures, toads, frogs, reptiles. He's inside the well, he's crying out, "Brothers, help me, help me." And they're just looking at him from the top of the well. And he had huddled himself up on a rock and he was crying out. Just imagine, not a grown-up individual, a small little child. A small little child, a ghulam. Later on we'll discuss, when a caravan passes by, they say, "Ya Bushra, hada ghulam," a little boy like this little boy. At the bottom of a dark, abandoned well, thrown in by whom? Not by mistake, by his own brothers who conspired against him. And he still... he's not aware of that. He thinks it was a mistake. He's fallen into the well and perhaps they're going to get a rope or a bucket and now come and help him out. He's crying out, "Brothers, help me, help me." But then they, outside, they're laughing at one another. They're looking at Yusuf and they're saying, you know what, they're congratulating one another. "We're done. Mission complete. Mission complete. We came out here to throw him into a well. It's done. Now we can go back and we can win the love of our father." Allah. But look at how shaitan... look at how shaitan fooled them into throwing their little brother into a well. Now he is crying out, little Yusuf. And just imagine, to hear the footsteps go away, instead of coming running. If you are in danger, if you fall into trouble, when people come running towards you, I mean, especially if you have family around you, they'll all come running. I mean, if you stumble, trip and fall, say you're just coming down the stairs of your house, if you were to trip and fall, your wife, your mother, your father, your brothers, your sisters, they run to you. And they're so upset. I mean, did you hurt yourself? Did you fall? They ask so many questions. Here they've thrown their little brother into a well, and instead of rushing to his aid, they're walking away. They're laughing and they're walking away. I want you to imagine the turmoil of emotions in the heart of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Just imagine how he must have felt. Abandoned. Little boy, Allahu Akbar. And the night falls. No one comes. Not a single sound. Just imagine, the dark of the night. Just rewind the night before, he was so excited. At home, sleeping next to his father, the warmth of his own bed, thinking about the next day's picnic. Now fast forward it, he's at the bottom of a dark, abandoned well. Just imagine how he must have felt. Days pass, nights pass, nobody comes. He's so worried. He's thinking, you know what, I'm just going to die out of hunger. No food. The water is dirty, murky water. You can't drink it. Toads, reptiles all over the place. Such an old, abandoned well. Now he's almost at the brink of giving up. Because he thinks, I'm going to die out of starvation, out of hunger or thirst. And then what happens? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he inspires little Yusuf.
وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِ لَتُنَبِّئَنَّهُمْ بِأَمْرِهِمْ هَذَا وَهُمْ لَهَا يَشْعُرُونَ
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِ We inspired Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. لَتُنَبِّئَنَّهُمْ بِأَمْرِهِمْ هَذَا وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ One day, you will inform them, O Yusuf, inform them, inform your brothers about this affair of theirs, about this act of theirs, the fact that they threw you into an abandoned well. You will inform them one day when they will not know you. They will not be able to identify you. They will not be able to recognize you. Just remember this, inshallah, towards the end of the story, this will come about, inshallah, ta'ala. They will not know you, but you will inform them about this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspires Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, this is just the first test. The story will span across, I think, if I'm not mistaken, 2 to 3 days, inshallah. And you will come to a conclusion that subhanallah, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, he went through. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts him through so many tests. Allahu Akbar. Test after test. Look, he was the apple of the eye of his father. And now he's at the bottom of a dark well. And it doesn't end here. Help doesn't come. And he doesn't go back to his father. You will see what happens next. It's worse than the well. Allahu Akbar. He's thrown into slavery and sold as a slave. We'll talk about it. But test after test. Allahu Akbar. Test after test. Once a Sahabi radiallahu anhu, he asks the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, the narration goes along the lines of these words, who are the individuals tested the most by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who are the individuals tested the most by Allah? At times you and I, you know, we think, oh, life sucks, I'm going through so many tests, you know, I can't just handle this anymore, let me just take my life, let me suicide perhaps. We give up so easily because of a small test. Because of a little financial stress, because of a small marital problem, because of a small family problem, because of a small feud, a small disagreement between our siblings perhaps. We quickly give up and we are quickly resorting to almost like taking our lives. Allahu Akbar. Look at Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, test after test. And then you know what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says? You know who are the most tested individuals? Just imagine. Any wild guesses? The sinners? Criminals? Al-Anbiya. The prophets. The prophets are the most tested individuals by Allah. Al-Anbiya. And then you know what? Fal-Amthal. Al-Amthal, Fal-Amthal. And then the next best, after which the next best. In other words, the Sahaba, the righteous, the martyrs, the scholars, they are the ones tested the most by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on to say that an individual is tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to his levels of righteousness. The closer you are to Allah, the higher the levels of your righteousness, you're bound to be tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For what purpose? These tests, my dear brother, my dear sister, molds you. It polishes you to the better. It perfects you. It basically prepares you for something bigger. What is it? It is preparing you for Al-Jannah, for paradise. These tests. So it depends on how we look at these tests. If we start to grumble, if we start to complain, if we start to question Allah, question the decree of Allah, we have failed. Look, we discussed the story of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah commands him to do what? To slaughter his own son. If he had questioned Allah, if he had questioned the decree of Allah, sometimes you and I, we question, why can't I do this? Why can't I do that? Why does the Sharia prohibit me from doing this? He of all people could have questioned Allah, why, Ya Allah, are you asking or commanding me to slaughter my innocent son? He could have, but he didn't. فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا They both immediately submitted. That is the beautiful quality of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. No questions asked. He did not even bat an eyelid. He immediately accepted the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, if you're going through tests, if you're going through trials, know for a fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing you for a purpose. And at times trials are blessings in disguise. We fail to understand it because we cannot see the bigger picture. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can see the big picture. We cannot perceive His plan. We plan, but Allah's plan is the plan that supersedes all other plans. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open the doors of understanding for all of us. Ameen. Okay. So now Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam at the bottom of this well. Days pass, nights pass, until one day he hears the sound of animals, the sound of wheels. In other words, a caravan is approaching. And then he hears footsteps approaching towards the well, and suddenly a bucket is thrown in. Plop, it hits the water. And then he cries out, help, 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 before, you know, the man realizes that this is an abandoned well, and before he leaves the well, he cries out, help, help. And then this man looks inside the well. Lo and behold, he is surprised. A ghulam, a young boy. And let's just pause there and let's talk about what happened with the brothers now. They dumped Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam to the bottom of this well, and now they make their way home. They make their way home. وَجَاءُوا أَبَاهُمْ عِشَاءً يَبْكُونَ They make their way home during the early part of the night, during the time of Salatul Isha. وَجَاءُوا أَبَاهُمْ عِشَاءً During the time of Isha, they make their way home, يَبْكُونَ Crying, weeping. Just moments ago they were rejoicing, congratulating one another, giving one another a high five because they succeeded in their mission. But now they go to their father weeping and crying. They go to their father weeping and crying. And they go to him and say, Ya Abana inna dhahabna nastabiqu wa tarakna yusufa inda mata'ina fa akalahu dhi'b wa ma anta bimu'minin lana wa law kunna sadiqin. They used the very same thing that their father feared. Allahu Akbar. They went and they told their father, Oh our father, we were racing, you know, we were having a race. We were racing with one another. And we left Yusuf by our belongings. We kept him to look after our things. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, a wolf came and ate him up. A wolf came and ate him up. وَمَا أَنْسَ بِمُؤْمِنٍ لَنَا وَلَوْ كُنَّا صَادِقِينَ And we know you will not believe us even though we are speaking the truth. Look, they are confident that their father will not believe in them. We know that you will not believe in us even though we are speaking the truth. So because of that, we have brought evidence, we have brought proof. And what do?
وَجَاءُوا عَلَىٰ قَمِيصِهِ بِدَمٍ كَذِبٍ
They present the shirt of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam stained with blood. It was stained with blood. From where did they get this blood? They slaughtered a sheep and they stained the shirt of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam with the blood of the sheep. Bidamin kadib, false blood. False blood. It wasn't the blood of any human being or Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam for that matter. They removed his shirt, and this was before they put him into the well. This was all, you know, when they had that drama of playing around and goofing around. They removed his shirt. They planned it out well. Shaitan helped them to plan it out really well. But they forgot one thing. Before presenting the shirt to their father, before displaying it, they forgot to mess up the shirt a bit. They forgot to tear the shirt. The shirt was looking crisp, as if, you know, it was freshly ironed, but it has got blood all over the place. Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, even though he was old at that time, he was an intelligent individual, a prophet of Allah, he was surprised. A wolf eating someone without tearing the shirt, that means the wolf neatly removed the shirt and kept it aside and then ate the person. Have you ever seen such a neat and orderly wolf who removes the shirt and keeps it and then eats it and then rubs the blood? So he was surprised. Said, how can this be? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, قال بل سولت لكم أنفسكم أمرا. He said, no, you have made up a tale. You've made up this story. This is a false story. You yourselves have made up this tale. فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. Patience is beautiful. He was old. And he did not know what they had done with Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. So he cries out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. Patience is beautiful. وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ. Allah, then it is Allah whose help can be sought against that which you have described. Against your story, only Allah's help can be sought. Because now there was so many things going on within the mind of Ya'qub. I want you now to put yourself in the shoes of Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam. A father who loved his child so much. Just imagine, your child missing. The night before you were hugging him, you perhaps kissed him before he slept. When he was leaving to play, maybe you bade farewell and you were hoping that he would come back. And now what has been brought? A shirt stained with blood, saying that this is the blood of your son and he has been killed. Just imagine the turmoil of emotions. Now imagine Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam and Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam at the bottom of a well. Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam far away, a father not knowing where his son is. Just look at the story. Allahu Akbar. Look at how the father and son must have felt. Their relationship just broken, just like that, torn apart from one another. Just one night before they were together, but here now they are torn apart. And who were in the middle? These 10 young boys. And what made them do this? What made them fragment their family into tiny little pieces? Jealousy. And who gets the upper hand now? Shaitan. Shaitan. Allahu Akbar. So my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, don't give in to jealousy. Don't give in to envy. Don't give in to hatred. It will destroy you. It will destroy you. You might think that if I do this, I'll get the upper hand. I'll be this, I'll be that. But at the end of the day, you will be an utter loser. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. The whole family was fragmented into pieces. Shattered into pieces. They were all torn apart. Father upset. Dear little brother far away. And they in the middle. What are they trying to do? They're trying to win the love of their father through this. Allahu Akbar. They worsen the situation. They worsen the situation. They thought that they could win the love of their father. But impossible. How? And he cries out, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى مَا تَصْفُونَ. But like I said, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the supreme plan. And that plan was something completely different for Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. This caravan, the man sees Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam in the well. He cries out, Ya Bushra, Hada Ghulam. He cries out, good news. He cries out to the caravan, good news. Here is a boy. Now think of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. His spirits must have soared because at last somebody has come to help me. At last somebody has come to help me. Perhaps they are kind souls who will take me back to my father and I'll be able to go back home. He happily gets onto the bucket or holds onto the rope as they lift him up. They lift him up and what do? They don't feed him. They don't hug him and tell him, you know what, we're going to take you back to your father. No, what do? They tie him up. Allahu Akbar. They tie him up and throw him into the caravan. And where does this caravan go now? Just imagine Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam tied up in the caravan. And this caravan is journeying from Palestine to Egypt. Allahu Akbar. What a long distance from Palestine to Egypt. And he is traveling, thinking perhaps they're taking me home. Maybe they don't know who I am. He's taken to Palestine, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, and sold in the marketplace as a slave. A slave! You are a free man. You're enjoying freedom. Just imagine tomorrow if you wake up and you are a slave. If someone has taken you as a slave. You know, a slave doesn't have any rights whatsoever. A slave is just a commodity that belongs to someone. If the man says sit, that slave has to sit. If the man says get up, he gets up. It's not even like today's modern day employees, servants, maids. No, they have the liberty. You know what, I don't want to work for you anymore. I want a raise in my salary. I'm just leaving. I quit. And they leave. A slave cannot do that. A slave belongs to the master. He is sold in the marketplace as a slave. A young boy who was the apple of the eye of his father, but then dumped into a well by his own brothers and now sold in a foreign land. A young boy, he does not even know where this place is, Egypt. He's sold in a marketplace as a slave. Who buys him? A minister from the ministers of Egypt buy him, and this minister takes him to his palace. And he tells his wife, look after this little boy. Perhaps in the future he may be a source of benefit for us. Look after him and give him a good lodging. But anyway, he was a slave. He grew up in this palace, and then later on something happens. And he, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, was imprisoned. So inshallah ta'ala, tomorrow we will discuss what happened within the walls of the palace after Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam grew up and why he was imprisoned. The story will continue inshallah ta'ala. I look forward to seeing you all tomorrow. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.